All right, welcome. I would like to welcome everybody listening all around the world, all across the United States. We are live right here from the City of Angels, the central processing unit that is Coast to Coast AM. That's right. Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California on this beautiful Saturday night in Southern California. Heading into Sunday morning, I am your host, Jimmy Church. All right. Now, let's kind of do it this way tonight. We've got a very, very exciting show ahead of us. But before we get started, I want to be very, very clear on a few things. So indulge me. First, there is something going on over on the Giza Plateau in Cairo, Egypt. Right now, in the now, while I'm speaking to you now, there is clear and convincing evidence being presented right now that shows that the Great Pyramid of Egypt is just that. The Great Pyramid. Not the Khufu, not Cheops, or by any other name pyramid. It has been connected to Khufu since 1837, not before. I want to be very clear here. This is a modern hoax in the truest definition of the word hoax. There was nothing in ancient Egypt in their history through text, hieroglyphics, sculpture, nothing at all that connected Khufu to the Great Pyramid. But after the great hoax of 1837, every textbook, documentary, newspaper, and history class around the world said it was the tomb of Khufu. Well, it is not. And never was. I'm here to tell you right now, tonight, that world history, the very core of what we thought was the beginning of everything, what we have been taught as fact, must be rewritten. It is very simple, my friends. If the Great Pyramid isn't Khufu's, then it wasn't built during the Fourth Dynasty around 2560 BC. This changes everything. Seriously. This is so groundbreaking, so insane, and so completely important that its significance will change everything that we know about us. Listen to me. The only writing inside, the only thing saying anything at all about the pyramid, isn't genuine. It's not real. It was a hoax. Which means that the oldest of the seven wonders of the ancient world and the only one to remain largely intact and the one that we knew almost nothing about, we're back to ground zero, where we know nothing at all. And the second point I want to drive home, you already knew this. You already knew that. That's why you come to this show every night. That's why you are here. We've always known throughout our community that the Great Pyramid wasn't what Orthodox academia and Egyptologists said it was. We knew that. Not even the ancient Egyptians knew. When the Greeks, the Romans, or modern Western archaeologists ask about the pyramids, right? They go up to an Egyptian standing on the street. Hey, dude, you know, what's that? Egyptian says, don't know. But hey, you know, they're pretty cool, aren't they? That's what we had. We had nothing, and we've always had nothing. Which brings me to our guest tonight, Damon T. Berry. During my lifelong quest of searching for answers, the truth, I've come to the conclusion that the more that I learn, the less that I know. And I know it's a strange paradox. You know, for sure, I get that. I do. But what I mean when I say that is we really don't know much before 600 BC. Things get very clouded before 600 BC. After 600 BC, we've got calendars and we can cross date and we have text and writings. But before 600 BC, we don't know nothing. So I have chosen to listen. That's what I do. I listen. I listen to everybody. I collect. I put it all on the table. I want to hear what everyone has to say. And when it comes to Egypt, Göbekli Tepe, Peru, Stonehenge, you know, you pick it. Every time I think I'm closer to an answer, another researcher comes along and there I am. I've got to start over. And I love it. It's what I do. And that's what you do. That's why you are here. Damon's take on ancient history, megalithic stone, art, carvings, cave paintings, and how all of this relates back to us. And today, and the Black Knight satellite, is a game changer. His film series, The Knowledge of the Forever Time, comes from so far out of the box that you are forced, as a viewer, to change the way that you think and feel about not only our world, but yours. Well, today, what do we really know? I'll let Damon tell you his story tonight, but let me just say this. His research and film work was done before the recent Khufu revelations. So I want you to think about that as you listen to Damon tonight. And please do what I do. Keep your ears and mind open. Are you ready? Let's do this, man. It's time to get our learn on. In here, the studio is dark, but you already knew that. So turn down the lights, get comfortable. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM, and you can follow me right now on Twitter at J Church Radio. Very simple. You know the drill. Any questions or comments during the show, I keep Twitter running in real time to my left. And if your tweet is good, maybe I'll get your question on the air. I'll be right back with my first guest, Damon T. Barry. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Damon T. Barry. He is an American film director, screenwriter, and producer who's spent his entire professional career as a radio broadcaster. That's right. While visiting the ancient pyramids in Egypt, he experienced a powerful transformation of psyche and self. And this experience was so life-altering that he returned to the United States and changed gears. In his work, there are no questions of why or how can this be, but instead, it's just answers. His film series is called The Knowledge of the Forever Time. Each episode is called an invitation of New Age Man, a New Age of Earth, and the Age of Enlightenment. His latest film is called The Black Knight Satellite, Invitation Number 6. And I would like to welcome to the first time to Coast, Mr. Damon T. Barry. Damon, good evening and good morning.
Good evening, Jimmy. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, no, the pleasure's all ours. But I'm going to say this, Damon. It's your first time on the show. What took you so long?
You know, I've listened to Coast to Coast pretty much as long as I can remember. Again, but I was always a listener, and I never thought at any time in my life that I would be on Coast to Coast. But again, like you said, it was a fateful visit to Egypt that completely changed everything, and whatever the fates may be, have me here with you, so I am grateful.
Well, you know, I'll match you and raise you right now. How's that? I used to live where I am standing right now here at the Coast Studios, right? I used to live across the street. Across the street. My phone number was one digit off than the Coast number here at the studio. And I used to, and I used to listen to the show and look over at the building and go, you know, one day I'm going to be over there and I'm going to interview Damon T. Barry. And here we are. So there you go.
One up me on that one. I can't beat that one.
I had to. Well, I kind of want to back up a little bit, because you did give up a successful career in the entertainment industry and radio and broadcast and journalism. I want to talk a little bit about that and how you ended up in Cairo, because you were in Cairo working, right? So, you've got one of those great radio voices. You could be doing what I'm doing here right now, but you chose to give that up. So what type of reporting were you doing, and what was your goal in journalism as you started that path?
Well, believe it or not, it was radio. Majority of my career, which is a 25-year career, worked with some really big names, ABC, Walt Disney, and people like that. I mean, companies like that. And I did a lot of radio and television work. And I did some things for the military. I don't know if you may have heard a few of my commercials. The Army has always expected more from a soldier. Did a lot of those Army commercials for them. And an individual came to me and said, why don't you work as a liaison with the military, United States government, and you can show us what we know of, what we don't know about media, and you can do presentations. So what I did was traveled with the U.S. military and government officials. My job was to brief them and show them about new media software and things of that nature. And that brought me to Egypt. And when I was in Egypt, I always wanted to see the pyramids. And as it would have it, one weekend, I just hopped on a plane, flew to Cairo, and once I got there, it was unbelievable. It completely changed everything. And there's something about Egypt that's different from any other place in the world. It's something happens to you when you see it. It's more than awe. It's a completely different feeling that comes over you. And it was that day that I got there, my first time seeing it, that it changed everything and set me on the path that I'm on now.
So you walk up to the pyramids, you're on the Giza Plateau, and you walk up to the Sphinx. What happened?
Well, when I get to the pyramids, well, let me tell you something about Egypt. As much as the Western world prizes Egypt, it is not very prized. Those relics are not very prized over there. When you visit the pyramids, it's not well taken care of. It's not well maintained. It's treated very horribly. And there's a lot of, you know, open graves, open digging, people searching for treasures. So while you're there, it's just not a very likable environment. But because you're so happy you're there, my first thing is I want to touch the stones. That was my compulsion. And even when I got near the stones, I just couldn't believe I was there. I would touch the stones, look at it, be amazed at it. And I had my own guide, so he told me where to go and when to go. So I stayed at the pyramid for probably about 20 minutes, just walking around it, touching it, and it was amazing. And my guide said, let me take you here to see the Sphinx. So he took me to the Sphinx. We rode on a camel. I get off the camel, I go to the Sphinx, and it's smaller than it looks on television. So that was amazing to me first. And it was just amazing. And when I looked at it, I just wanted to touch it for the workmanship, to see what the actual stone felt like. And when I touched the stone, as soon as I touched it, it was like my eyesight, everything just went black. And I just started falling down. And everything, it was like all the systems in my body just shut off, like somebody just flicked a switch, and all circulatory functions just stopped. And while falling to the ground, not even a half a second, 2 seconds, it was like the light flickered back on. I grabbed myself from the ground. I stood up. And the first thing I could see was strange things. And I shook it off, because I'm a man of logic. I'm a man of reason. So I said to myself, maybe it's the sun. The sun was so hot. Maybe I got dehydrated.
Right.
Maybe I got, you know, I just started rationalizing in my mind what it could possibly be. And from that moment on, I just started seeing and hearing things that are within the religious texts, things that are in hieroglyphics, things that are created in Egypt. For some reason, I could see it and I could understand it. And I don't know how that was possible. At one point, I just thought I was a very brilliant individual, But then after, you know, 4 or 5 months, I realized I traced it back to that one particular instance. And that is what changed everything.
No kidding. I mean, was it an official face plant, or did you go backwards?
No. It was pretty close to a face plant.
Wow.
It was knee hitting the ground and then hand stopping yourself from going all the way.
Right. Okay. And yeah. What about your guide? Did your guide come up to you and just go, hey, man, this is normal. Everybody does this, right?
No, he didn't. He thought there was something wrong with me. He thought I would need a hospital.
Okay.
I kept telling him, I'm okay. Maybe
right.
I'm just dehydrated. Maybe it's sunstroke. Maybe it's the heat. So I just rationalized that it could have been any one of those things that was the reason, because I think that at that time, everything should have a rational explanation, and that's what I reasoned myself my way through it.
Well, I'll tell you something really funny, Damon. I have privately shared your story with some other researchers, people that you know. I'll tell you off the air. And every one of them has said to me, happens to everybody. You just go, Jimmy. What you go at one of those temples is going to be you. You know, it's going to be part of you, past life, whatever. You're going to walk, and you are going to have a moment just like Damon had. For him, it was the Sphinx. You know, for me, it was something, and I can't wait. I really, really do want that experience. And it was that profound, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, and it's good to hear you say that to me, because I didn't know that, but I'm glad to hear that, because it is a transformational event in your life, and it does change you. And the one thing that I can say, having visited, I am so glad that I did, and it is probably the most important place I've ever been. I've been to pretty much every continent in the world, but that was the most important.
And now, so you get back, and you decide to change gears. This is the true definition of epiphany, right?
Yes, it is.
And with that, I don't want to cut you off, but the point is, you've changed careers, but your way of approaching this is from like an innocent side of things. You haven't been tainted with other researchers or other things. This was new to you. And you've chosen... Right. You've chosen to go completely out of the box, and you're not influenced by anybody else. Why is that? Was that conscious?
It wasn't conscious at first. It wasn't conscious, and I just looked at things for the way that they are. Now, there is a show that I love that comes on television, Ancient Aliens.
Of course.
I used to watch it all the time, and the one thing that I noticed about the show always leaves you with questions. Every show is a question. How did this happen? Who could have done this? How could this be?
Right.
And I always loved the show. And after watching the show, there were several things that they would show on there that they would give an explanation for a hieroglyphic or an explanation for why a stone is a certain way. And in my mind, I would say, that's not true. That's not right. And so I started looking more into Egypt. I started looking more into stone structures. And there is a knowledge there that is beyond what we are reporting as knowledge. There's information there that is beyond what we see as information. The Egyptians were a superior race of people, and they are technological people. They have everything that we have today when they created their civilization. And in their hieroglyphics, they're not really hieroglyphics as what we're teaching. For example, you'll see a man pushing a cart with an ox, and you'll see a round circle near him. So the world in our world says that two-dimensional character means this man is farming. However, if you look deeper into the Egyptian text, it is interdimensional. So each of their creations are interdimensional, meaning it's not just two-dimensional. It could be 3, 4, and 5 dimensions of information laying in each character, in each hieroglyphic. So the one thing they're showing us is the plowing of earth could mean the man on the earth. There is a very symbolic meaning to a cow. And we think that most people think that it's just a religious belief, but there's something very special and holy about the cow in the Egyptian world.
Well, let me jump in right there, Damon. We're going to take a break. And Damon is a writer. He's a director. He's based in Dallas, Texas. And his film series do explore the groundbreaking study of the history of the world and its connections to the solar system, the universe, and to us today. We're going to have a fascinating conversation tonight. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Damon right after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Our guest tonight is Damon T. Berry. And you can check out Beyond Belief. Right now, you can join Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie for dynamic discussions on paranormal phenomena, conspiracies, and all things unexplained. You see the world through new eyes. You get new episodes weekly. Get unlimited access to Beyond Belief and watch it anywhere, on your computer, anytime, iPhone, iPad, whatever. No commercials, no sponsors. You can enjoy Beyond Belief right now completely ad-free. Just go to beyondbelief.com. Damon T. Berry, writer, director, filmmaker. His series is called The Knowledge of the Forever Time. His latest, The Black Knight Satellite. But there's also The Stargate Found and Understanding Alien Communication and much, much more. More with Damon T. Berry when we come back. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our guest tonight, Damon T. Berry, filmmaker, writer, ex-radio guy. You gotta love that. So, Damon, let's do this. I want to start with the look and the feel of your productions, because they are cinematic. They're not like other things that we see on the paranormal or history and so forth. They're very slickly done. Of course, you do the narration. So that means that part of it's great. But the imaging and the graphics and the CG are up there with any Hollywood production. Why did you decide to go that route to make it, you know, so much eye candy? Because it's amazing to watch.
Jimmy, I thank you so much for saying that, because we put so much effort and so much time into creating this film series. And for everyone who's never heard of it, it's called The Knowledge of the Forever Time. It's free. We put a lot of value into the film so that it doesn't look like a YouTube video, but we publish it free on YouTube. So all you have to do is search for Damon T. Berry or The Knowledge of the Forever Time, and it comes up. It is the type of film that, because the knowledge that is being revealed is so important, we just felt it would do it a disservice to do it cheaply or to make it look cheap. So in order to honor those men and women who left us these clues over the last 100 million years, we do our best to honor them by making a beautiful cinematic product that people can look, learn, and appreciate the value of it.
Now, I bring it up directly like I do because the viewer, instead of just listening to it and have it in the background, which is fine, right? You're listening to, whoever is narrating a documentary, and you can glean a lot of information that way. You do it. I do it all the time, right? This you watch, and while you watch this, you present your evidence and your theories with cave paintings or with sculpture or megalithic structures, whatever the case may be. But the viewer, because he is watching it, sees what you have found. And what is important here that needs to be stressed is, how did you find this evidence? Because it's been out there in front of us and other researchers forever. But you are presenting it another way. How does this come to you?
Well, I will tell you, I can trace it back to Egypt, and it is clear as day. And the reason I can say that is because I don't know hieroglyphics. I don't know them at all. And yet when I looked at them, for some reason they made sense to me. And then I started studying them, studying the Egyptian hieroglyphics. And believe it or not, when you study Egyptian hieroglyphs, and you begin to understand it, it opens the entire world. Because the Egyptian hieroglyphs, believe it or not, are the exact same hieroglyphics they used in Sumeria. They are the exact same hieroglyphics you find with the Mayans. It's the same hieroglyphics that the Peruvians and Nazca lines used. They're all used the exact same characters. It's the exact same words. It's telling the exact same story. The only difference is it's the ethnicities that change the way the characters look. for example, someone who is of African descent, when he draws a character, it will be very different from someone who has an Asian background or a European background or
right.
a Hindu background.
Right.
So the story is all the same. It's just the characters in the hieroglyphics are different. Stylization, that's all it is. And once you understand that, it opens everything. And, for example, when we're talking about the Pyramid of Egypt, as though all scholars dismiss it as being Khufu's pyramid, the reason we understand what it is and what it does and what it means to this day is because of Khufu. And that's why they called it Khufu's pyramid, because Khufu, his name, and most people don't believe this because most researchers, most theologians, most astrophysicists, most archaeologists will tell you no one will know the answer to the pyramid. No one knows why it's here. The reason they say that is because they don't know. But we're looking and we're following a path that someone else told us. And I think that's the freeing of your knowledge and of your mind. And believe it or not, when someone tells you this is the answer to a problem, you stop thinking about it. When they tell you this is the solution, you stop considering anything else.
Right.
And that's why I make it a point not to listen to other lecturers, other authors, and other peoples on a given subject. I don't listen to anyone, because if I do, I'll believe that that's the answer, and I'll stop looking.
Right,
so
right.
When you look at everything with an open mind, with your mind, unfettered by someone telling you what it is because it cages you, once you let that go and you look at the hieroglyphic, you'll see something they don't see, and that creates a whole nother story and a bigger way to tell it. And the pyramid is the greatest story of all, because Khufu's name is why they call it Khufu's pyramid, not because he built it. His name inside the pyramid is the clue. That's what tells you what it's for. That's what tells you why the pyramid is there. And that's what's so important about it.
Yeah, and what, you know, I was talking about this at the intro of the show. This film and your research was all done before this latest finding that is out there now, that, you know, the Khufu side of things could have been a hoax, or probably is. George Knapp is doing a show tomorrow night here on Coast with author Scott Crichton about this and his new book, The Great Pyramid Hoax. But if this does come out, and just like you said, everybody, you know, if you're locked in listening to others, then it clouds what you're doing and your open mind. And the this revelation, if Khufu is removed from the Great Pyramid's name, that changes that side of it. But what is more extraordinary is that we know now less than we knew yesterday. Right. And we don't know when it was built or why it was built. And we need to listen to everybody, like your views on why this is here, which I think is totally extraordinary. And I've never heard anybody speak about it the way you do.
Well, the one thing I can tell you is the pyramid is dated around 10 to 13,000 BC.
Right.
Göbekli Tepe is dated around 10 to 13,000 BC.
That's right.
The Moai of Easter Island, dated around 10,000 to 13,000 BC. Cave paintings showing us a detailed view of the sun that's telling us there's an opening and it's a stargate, detailed around 10,000 to 13,000 BC.
Bingo.
Atlantis, the great city that is destroyed, in the same time frame. So all of these same creations on all of these same cities and all of these same writings and all of these same cave paintings appeared, even with the Black Knight satellite, same time scale,
right.
10,000 to 13,000 BC. So something happened on our Earth in that particular time that made every single nation create something, leave something on this Earth. And the only thing they were leaving was clues for us, for the next civilization that would come. And that's what each of these stone structures, these pyramids, all these things are created for one purpose, to save us. Because what happened to them 13,000 years ago will happen to us.
And why is it, and I know you feel the frustration, why is it that Orthodox academia chooses to ignore anything before 3000 BC? Right? That's it. It was Stone Age man. There was nothing. There was no writing. There was no organization. They were hunter-gatherers. They didn't have this intelligence. We don't want to talk about this. And that goes right across the board. Why is that?
It goes across the board because it goes back to what I was saying before. The reason that our world began 4,000 BC is because we were told that. And we believe that. So we stopped looking. We're told that we can't understand this. We're told that we don't have any answers for this. So we stop looking. And then everything that we write after that is based on the knowledge that someone else told us, which limits what we can do and what we can achieve. And the thing about, and if you have the time, if you're a listener and you're next to a computer, do one thing and you'll understand what I'm saying. The reason that the Great Pyramid of Egypt is Khufu's pyramid is because no one knew what the pyramid was for. No one in the ancient world, including in Jesus' time, knew what the pyramid was for. They thought it was just a great stone structure. No one had any clue what it was for.
That's right.
Khufu's name in the pyramid is how you unlock its meaning. Because if you search the king Khufu, they each have a hieroglyphic for their name. And Khufu was the king of Egypt. And his name was a moon symbol, a bird, a snail or a serpent, and another bird. That was the writing of his name. But then when he came to the pyramid, his name changed. His name became the symbol of a pyramid. It became the sun. And then it became a symbol which means placenta, something that is found in the gestation period of a female giving birth. So because he changed his name and wrote it inside the pyramid, those clues alone tell you what the pyramid is for. It has something to do with the sun, it has something to do with the birth, and it has something to do with man. So when you put those together, the pyramid opens up by itself, and it's the most glorious story of all time. And it's in The Knowledge of the Forever Time, Episode 1, so Invitation 1. So if you go watch The Knowledge of the Forever Time, Invitation 1, you'll see a very holy and beautiful story that really tells what the pyramid is actually for. And the story wouldn't be there without Khufu's name inside that pyramid.
Now, also, let's start with, before we hit this next break, let's start with invitation number one. There is so much there in invitation number one. You could have probably done 3 or 4 films just out of that, but it is there. But there is one point that I want everybody to understand is you do not stop without giving something. There you are going through, and every time you present a question, you immediately give the answer and then you move on. Why would you do the opposite of what is the norm in Hollywood?
Well, the one thing that I've learned about Hollywood, whenever someone has a kernel of knowledge that is new, just a kernel of knowledge, they'll make a 500-page book about it and put it on, you know, a bestseller list somewhere. But you have to read the 500 pages to get that one page that has the information you're looking for. So the one thing that we do, we liked about, and don't get me wrong, the others in our organization want to just go straight to a film, but we went that avenue, but they want to take away your creative control once you go to creating it with a network. So the other option is, let's do one that looks beautiful, that looks wonderful, and unlike Ancient Aliens or all these other shows you see on television that will say, these structures are here, how could they be here, what does it mean? Our sole purpose is to tell you why they're here, what the purpose is for, why it was built, to answer all the questions. And once you have all the answers, it changes something in you. It makes you more enlightened. It makes you smarter. It leads you to do something in our future that will probably be better for all of us.
Now, the revelation of the Stargate aspect, also the black holes, we're going to get into cave paintings and some other stuff after the break. But these things, the way that you have tied them together, no other researcher has put this together quite like you have. And it is a revelation. How did this come to you 3D? you know, to put all of this together. You know what I mean? Because you are looking at things in an exploratory way instead of being pragmatic and not trying to go outside of the box.
Right. Well, the one thing I would tell anyone, I get a lot of people that ask me that same question on my Facebook page. And the one thing I would tell everyone, and this is not being flippant, it's not being dismissive, and I hope it's not being insulting to anyone. Never, ever go by what someone else has told you years and years and years ago or what you read in a book. Never do that. There's something about the human psyche that every now and then we will all follow after those who came before us. But every now and then one of us, we won't take a step. We take leaps. We take leaps above everyone else. The ones that are able to do that are the ones who aren't listening to everyone who's telling them, this is the answer. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do this. So once you let go of what another researcher or another lecturer or your professor or your teacher told you, if you let that go and see it with your own eyes, everything opens up. Because there's one thing you have to know about our civilization. The greatest nations that have ever ruled our earth, the most transformative nations that have ever been on our planet, what makes them great is they're all multicultural. They're all nations of different races. And that's important because the Hindu will see something very different from the Asian. The Asian will see something very different from the European. The European will see it very different from the African. The African will see it very different from the Latino. And because everyone sees it in a unique view, something new will come out. Something great that no one has ever seen before will come. So that's why I tell everyone, you know, use your mind, look at what you see, and there's something beautiful and something great will come of it.
Well, and what it's damaged me, the films, and I'll tell you why. I finally got to accept that, you know, these 25,000-30,000 year old cave paintings were done by somebody very advanced, very artistic, and they were definitely at another level of evolution than we have given them credit for. These are 3D beautiful art, and I had surrendered to that. But now, after your films, I see the cave paintings, and I see the galaxy. I see black holes. I see planets when it's supposed to be a human face. And now I'm polluted. I'm damaged. But it's extraordinary, and I get it now. I really do. I've figured it out. But how did you see black holes? How did you see the galaxy? How did you see that representation on this cave art?
Well, in cave paintings, the one thing that I've learned, cave paintings, incidentally, is in the Knowledge of the Forever Time, invitation number 2. Cave paintings is very important, and it changed me because there was an earlier film that I did that is a very generic, basic understanding film, and it's called Contact 2014. Now, the film is not made to be great. It's not made even to be good. It's made to convey a knowledge to something that I learned when I was training government officials and soldiers. The one thing they told you when you're training a class of individuals is you train to the slowest one in the class. You teach according to the slowest learner. So Contact 2014 is based on the slowest learner, so which people of high intelligence, they're annoyed with it immediately because it's too slow. But there's one thing that I've learned. When I've never been into UFOs. But I, one time, just watching a UFO on a video, I saw a UFO on a video, and suddenly these three UFOs go in this strange formation, and then they disappear. And I realized, what's they're doing? And I said, that was Orion. So then I look at another video. It could be in China. They do the exact same thing. They make the formation of Orion. Then I look at another video. Then
let me jump in right there. We got to hit a hard network break, Damon. And we'll pick this up when we come back. Our guest tonight, Damon T. Barry. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Stay with us.